very good, because he's going to take that chart right there. You guys are going to be so brainwashed with that chart, you're never going to be able to forget it. Even though the kids have demolished it. I have to review it just for a minute, and then I'm going to erase a portion of it, because we're going to take a closer look today. So let's take a quick review. As we behold God, the Word promises us, as we behold Him, we are transformed into the self-same image. Glory to glory. We become like Him. Because, see, God, holy and transparent and pure, created us in His image. Holy and transparent and pure. Can y'all see it? We need it lifted. Can see it okay? But when we're born, the enemy begins immediately to dirty the image. Dirty the image so we don't know who we are anymore. People begin to tell us things about ourselves that we believe. Or we step into sin, and the enemy loves to lead you into doing something and then accuse you for doing it. So he will lead you into telling a lie, saying, it's just a little white lie. They'll feel better if you lie to them. And then as soon as you do it, he says, you are a liar. And God hates liars. Right? That's minute. That's minute. He'll lead you into doing bigger things and then tell you God's through with you because you did that. So he is your worst enemy. He leads you to the sin and then he beats you up for your sin.
Right.
Immediately after you're born, you begin getting a false image of who you are. And you see who you should be, and you either find yourself failing to be that person, and your image is darkened in failure, or you succeed to be that person you're trying to be, and your image is darkened by the sin of pride.
Right.
And this is who you think you are. A little bit schizophrenic for most of us. One minute, we think, I am such a worm, because deep down inside, I know what I am. I'm so bad. I've done horrible things, and even the things I didn't do, I thought about doing, are horrible. If people knew this about me, they wouldn't like me. I don't even like me. And then the very next minute, we can get in an argument with somebody, and we can go, I'm better than them. I'd never do what they do. I'm a pretty good person. Flip to the pride side. Tear ourselves between these two images. Then we find an image. Sorry, my golden image is really, really disappeared here. This is our golden image of who we want to be. This is where many Christians are stuck. They found out about God, and they decided they wanted to be a good Christian, and they wanted to be like a Christian, like Christ. And they started trying to be good, live the Christian life, be that golden image. One of two things happened. They failed. And now they really feel like a horrible person because they keep failing. They cannot be that Christian. They can't do it. They keep running into their sin. Or they think they're doing pretty darn good at it. They lead everyone to the Lord. They tithe their money. They're living this great life. And they're full of blackened pride again. When we come to behold God in His purity and His holiness, and we let Him look into us, the first thing he's going to look at is our sin. Is our sin. He wants to remove that sin. Then he's going to look at our false Christianity. He's going to discover who we're trying to be, who we hope we are. And he's going to take that away too. Because it's fake. It's a lie. It isn't real. Then he's going to a deeper level. And this is where I want to erase the board. Honey, can you get the stuff to erase part of the board? Because this is where many of us have come. God has looked into this first darkness, and he has taken us to some healing. In my case, if you've been in my classes, he looked in here where some of my darkness that I needed healing was repenting of anger, repenting of critical spirit, repenting of disliking certain types of people. And he looked into the reasons behind it. And he found my woundedness. I disliked farmers. I disliked farmers because they wore bib jeans.
Do you want me to erase all of it?
No. I want to erase this section. We're going to come up to looking at the dark part. I dislike farmers who wore bib jeans, and I dislike people who were mentally ill and retarded and acted stupid. Now, that's not very Christian-like. So I kept beating myself up for not liking them. But God said, let's find out why. And he took me back to the day I was raped, when I was 13, by two men. One of them a retarded farmer in bib overall jeans. So I had formed a dislike for anyone who looked like that. And I had to go back and forgive them. I did not relive the rape. God does not want you to relive sin.
Right.
He does not want you to relive sin because he doesn't like looking at sin. Why would he want you to look at it?
Exactly.
He wants you to acknowledge it.
Yep.
Not relive it.
Right.
He wants to remove that horrid memory from you.
Yep.
So when I looked at that in memory, it happened. I did not relive it. But I did bring those two men before God and say, I choose to forgive them. I didn't feel like forgiving them. I didn't want to forgive them. I didn't like them. I made a choice. A choice like a piece of paper. We got an empty piece of paper here. This is forgiveness. This is all it is. You don't have to feel it. You don't have to like the person.
Right.
They owe you a debt. These two men are as if their name were on this paper, laying on the desk of God, requiring him to punish them
for what
they've done to me. Now, when you accept Christ, you are forgiven your debt against God.
Right.
And you're going to go to heaven.
Right.
Because God tore your debt up against him. What he did not tear up was the debts we have against each other.
Right.
And that's why we still die.
Physically.
These two men had a big debt of punishment coming for what they did to me. And it's as if I said, my choice, God, give me that paper. I say, do not punish these men.
Right.
Do not. I hate them. And hate's a sin. But I can't help it. I hate them anyway. But don't punish them.
Right.
Choose to forgive them.
Right.
They're off your desk. Let them go free.
Right.
Furthermore, beyond let them go free, bring them to repentance and save them. Save them. Bring them to repentance. I began to pray for their repentance, and I found myself, my heart of hate was changed by God. I didn't hate them anymore. I felt sorry for them.
Right.
I truly wanted them to get saved. I truly wanted them to repent for their sake. I don't hate farmers and bib overalls, and I don't hate retards anymore. I never did. I hated a memory that tormented me.
Exactly.
And it was my torment until I forgave that tormentor and he was able to be removed from my host system. I know if you haven't been in the inner healing, you might be a little behind, but I'm telling you, that is level one.
Yeah.
That's only level one.
Exactly.
I was molested when I was 2 years old. My eyes went crossed. I got healed from that at level one.
Right.
That's still level one. I'm bitter toward my husband. I got healed of that at level one. A lot of our healing that we've been through, no matter how wonderful it is, level one. Level one. Oh, you took God out. Where'd God go?
He's still
here. He's just getting bigger, okay? He's just getting, we got to take that Christian out. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty today. We're going deep. Get past that false Christian image. He's already broken that out. Most of you here, you're not living that fake Christianity anymore. We're beyond that.
No more religion.
If you're walking into fake Christianity, you're probably not in here anymore because you can't stand what we're doing, running around in bare feet and just getting all free. Yeah.
Amen.
No. I want to show you something about sin because we're going to a deeper level with our sin. This is our heart. And these are the things we do. We get drunk. We do dope. We gossip. Okay, yeah, you guys help me out. You know the sins. Give me some more. What else do we do? What? Smoke. Okay, well, we'll call smoking a sin for today. Not necessarily, but it only is if God told you to quit, you didn't do it. Now it's the sin of disobedience. Disobedience. Let's do that. We disobey. We fight. We commit adultery. What other things are really hard to quit doing? Really hard to stop. Anger. You get anger. You're cheating, John. You can't say the word hate. You can't say that word. Prejudice. We're prejudiced. Oh, you know I can't spell it. That's a J. Prejudice. Giving up. Let's give up because you know what's there? Depression. Why is depression a sin? Because depression is an evil spirit. And when you give in to it, you're walking with the devil and that's sinful. Right. Depression is a sin. Right. Worry is a sin. Fear. Worry is a fear. I mean, sin. Now, what I want to tell you is those are not the issues.
Exactly.
Those are the fruits of sin.
Right.
That is not what you repent of. Because
right.
You can't, that's not what you repent of. God wants a deeper reality of repentance. He's after why you do them.
Exactly.
Where do they come from? The roots of your sin are all found in here. Pride.
Yep.
Hate.
Yep.
You can say that word now. Pride, hatred, fear, doubt. Now, I want to show you true repentance. Because a lot of people are trying to get saved by stopping all the actions of sin. They've been told.
If you miss this, you're going to miss your life.
You're going to miss eternity is what you're going to miss. You're going to end up that golden, shining, wannabe Christian who's not even saved. I'm sorry, move up here, because it's hard to hold it. Oh, okay. Here's the problem. People try to get saved because there's two parts to salvation. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the church has messed them both up.
Right.
They tell you, you're walking along in your life, smoking, drinking, gossiping, prejudice, worrying, and now you're supposed to stop. Turn around, stop smoking, stop drinking, stop gossiping, and come to God. That's works.
Right.
That's you working your way to God.
Exactly.
God made it so hard that you know you can't do it, so yep. He gets to. He said, this is what I'm after.
Right.
Now, the day you come face to face with what's inside of you, and you say, God says, you know, he tells us the impossible, so we can't do it. Love your neighbor. And you're going, I can't love my neighbor. She's wicked and mean and she ran over my dog and slapped my kids and I can't love my neighbor. God says, I said love your neighbor. I can't, God. I'm trying. My heart, I can go bake her a pie, but my heart still hates her. God said, don't be proud. How can I don't be proud? If I'm proud, I'm proud. Harvey, I'm sorry. I have to say it. Harvey hides it well.
So did I. She loves to confess my sin.
No, this is something he genuinely couldn't help. He is a genius. He has 185 IQ. He went through college. He didn't even have to study. Glanced the chapter A+. He's a genius. He goes into class and he's smarter than his teacher. God says, Harvey, don't be proud about that. Well, I can't help it if I'm smarter than everyone I know. How can I not be proud? I am smarter than everyone I know. How do I not be proud? You can't not be proud any more than you can not hate. If you are afraid, you can sit there quoting verses all day long. You're still afraid. You ever try to make yourself not be afraid? How do you not be afraid when you're afraid? Can't do it. I'm trying to believe. I'm trying to believe. I'm trying to believe, but I'm full of doubt. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to doubt, but I still don't believe it. You can't make yourself not doubt. You see, the heart of repentance is right there.
Right.
Coming to realize what's in here, and you can't change it. You can't do it. All you can do, this is repentance, all you can do is see it. admit it and choose, God, God, I don't want to be proud. I don't want to hate. I don't want to fear. I don't want to doubt. But I can't do this. I can't. And I'm asking you to grant me repentance. Change my heart. Do what I can't do. Recognize your hopeless condition. Repentance is turning to God, choosing God, knowing only God can do this if it's going to get done.
Exactly.
I can't. That's the turning to God of repentance. When you do that, He will grant you the faith to see. If you can't even repent, how the heck are you going to live for Him? You can't.
That's right.
How are you going to bring anything to Him to get accepted? You can't.
Right.
How are you going to get in heaven? You can't.
That's right.
Because there is a payment required for this sin. And it's pure blood.
That's right.
Pure, holy, clean blood. We just had a message on the blood. Only the blood of Jesus is an acceptable donor that contains the antibodies to destroy sin.
Right.
Nobody else can give you that transfusion.
Right.
He's the only one. I just read a book. That book, it stirs me. This woman said she had 17 visits to heaven. And in one of the things she said she saw was this ocean of blood washing up on the shore, dirty foam, filthy polluted blood. And Jesus supposedly said to her, "That is my blood. Oh Lord, why is it so dirty?" Because of all the sin I took into my blood from people. No way!
No way.
The antibodies in His blood destroyed that sin.
Amen.
His blood is still pure.
That's
it still
right.
flows pure, powerful. It still has all the power to combat and destroy any sin
right.
that we bring into the blood.
Exactly.
Continually. His blood is not dirty.
Right.
And your sin is gone.
Yes.
It's just gone. His antibodies killed it, destroyed it. It's gone.
Right.
Gone. And when you see that, there's the faith of what Christ did, only Christ could do, none of you can do. I don't care how good you try to be. Your blood isn't pure. You need a transfusion. The faith is simply this. Did Jesus die on the cross and spill His perfect, pure blood for me? Of course He did. Why can't you believe it? Because you see yourself here. Always seeing yourself here. Never seeing that He created you to be pure like Him. And when He takes all this away, we will be. Now, we're coming to a deeper level of repentance. Maybe you don't do any of these things. Maybe you don't smoke, drink, gossip, be prejudiced, lie, cheat, steal. Maybe you don't do any of that anymore. Now God's after a deeper level in you. He wants to go to the depth of the depth of the depth with you today. He wants to look into your darkest corners and secrets. And He wants to find what hides in your heart.
There you go.
What is still hiding? Not because you can't go to heaven. If you are under the blood of Christ, your debt to God is forgiven. Past, present, future, gone. Forgiven.
Right.
You're going to heaven if you're saved. And if you're some other denomination that thinks you can lose it every time you mess up, then you never depended on Christ.
That's right.
You're depending on you.
That's right.
If you didn't do anything to get it, you don't do anything to keep it. It is the merciful gift of God.
Exactly.
And if that's the truth, it all depends on Him. How are you going to jump out of His hand? In fact, He said, "No man can pluck you from my hand." If you're in His hand, you're in His hand.
Right.
Now you can be a disobedient Christian, and you can face the consequences of that disobedience in this life. In this life. In this life! That book that woman wrote said she saw people didn't get in heaven. They're standing just outside the court in these tan robes, walking around sad. There were Christians that didn't serve God well enough, and they never get to go in. Then over here was these other group of people in these gray robes standing over here, all gathered up. And they're supposed to be the disobedient Christians that lived in sin. And when judgment day comes, they're going to hell with everybody else. That means that they, their life, their actions have earned them hell. That means that they, their actions, their life, have earned them this forever waiting room. And it means the ones that got to come into glory, their actions and their life earned them heaven. That is not dependency on Christ.
Right.
That is earning.
Right.
That is religion.
Right.
That is works. And that is a lie from the pits of hell.
That's right.
That is the lie the devil wants to sell people.
That's
so
right.
That you spend your life working to earn God's favor, and you won't get it.
Right.
Because His favor is on His Son. His favor is on His Son.
Exactly.
And if you trample under the blood of Christ, you don't get in heaven. Because the blood of Christ is the only thing that will get you in heaven.
Exactly.
You've either seen what He did and claimed it for yourself, or you didn't. Most of you believe that. And many of you in this room are not saved. And I'll tell you why. Because you think this is who you are. And God couldn't possibly mean you. He couldn't possibly have died for you. He couldn't want you. Because you think this is who you are. We have to go to the level of you finding out that is not you. That is the infiltrating, lying enemy spirits that you've been letting live through you in your life. They've been living in you. But if you kick them out, you'd find the real you, created in the image of God, just like your Father, just like God Himself. And when all the enemy is kicked out of you, you're going to be able to see who you really are and get free.
Yep.
God doesn't torment people.
Right.
God doesn't beat you up with your sin.
Right.
He exposes it to get rid of it.
Exactly.
He doesn't expose it to make you feel bad.
Right.
He exposes it to take it away.
Exactly.
Now we're going deeper. That means you're going to face things that you think you can't conquer. You're going to face those things that you've learned to live with. You're going to face those things that you have decided, well, that's just how I am. I can't help it. I've given up all this stuff, but I can't help this other stuff. It's just how I am. No, it's how you were. When you let that spirit live there, now you're going to get rid of it.
Right.
Anybody been having bad dreams? Any bad dreams lately? Anybody keep having some bad times through the week, running into all kinds of stuff in you don't like? Like losing your temper, not liking people? Here's a real big hint for you. Who don't you like? Who irritates you? Why? Why? Some people can't stand babies because they never got babied. They didn't get it, so they don't like seeing anyone else get it. Some people can't stand kids. We lost a man out of this church because we let kids be free. We don't let them disrupt the service, but we let our little ones, I think they were like a year and a half, 2 years old, we let them walk all over in here whenever they want to. And they would always go stand right by him. Right by him. He couldn't stand it. He said, I can't stand these kids coming near me. You know what? That man needs some healing from when he was that age.
Right.
What age irritates you? I'm not trying to send you home to have a wonderful week. I'm trying to send you home to face some issues and let God get them.
There you go.
Religion has almost been a worse enemy than the outright evil of witchcraft. Because religion is trying to sell us works.
Yep.
John?
I really do. In my heart, I want to get past that because it's a good principle. I need it for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I need help with it. I understand it.
When we start going through praying with people, we'll bring that one up before God. My mouth is so dry. God wants you to find out who you really are so you can stop letting the enemy have residence in you. We are created in the image of God, and the only thing that's wicked in us is what we let live in us of the enemy. And we've let it live there so long, we think it's us. It's lived there so long, we think it's who we are. When I was born, I was an unwanted pregnancy. My mom had two kids. My dad was a drunk. He left her alone. She's just come out of a TB stand. She's got her hands full. She did not want another baby. And she tried to get my dad to take me. And he said, no, I'm not taking her. My mom, when she was in her 80s, said, good thing I got stuck with you because who'd be taking care of me? My mom felt she was stuck with me. As a baby, I felt that. I used to have dreams my whole life that I was a baby in a crib and that somebody came in the room when I was crying, and instead of picking me up, they stifled me with their hand and told me, shut up. Stop crying. I felt that throughout my life. If you want to live in this house, be quiet. Be quiet. Don't irritate anyone. Don't get in trouble. Don't make messes. Just don't exist. Be quiet. My mother, I know she felt guilty about it. And knowing that she didn't want me, she didn't look at me. She never looked in my eyes. I'd talk to her. She'd stay behind her paper and say, yes, go ahead. She would not look at me. I felt I did not exist. That became my identity in life. Be quiet. Don't make trouble. Stay out of sight. Just don't ever, you know, shake the waters, and you can fit wherever you go. You go to church, stay in the back, don't give your opinion. Be quiet, don't get involved. Don't make a spectacle of yourself. Just be quiet, and people will accept you. I went to school, usually in the front door and straight out the back door because I was so scared of people. I skipped school 4 days out of five almost every week, as soon as I was old enough to find the back door on my own. They'd call my mom, she'd find me, bring me back to school, or take me home. I hated school because I was scared of everyone. I was terrified of people. And I always had the thought, if you make any noise, if they find out any of these thoughts you have, or that you have opinions different than theirs, they will reject you. I grew up thinking that was my identity. I thought something was wrong with me. I wasn't like other people. Something was wrong with me. It was a lie of the enemy. Before I was ever born, the enemy said, you are not wanted. You are not a wanted person in this world. In my early inner healing, God took me in a vision. I'm so blessed because I get to teach inner healing. He let me understand my inner healing and see it in visions and explain it to me. Some of you lay on the floor and you cry, you laugh, you just enjoy the music, and then something in your life changes and you don't even know why. Well, I got to see it and understand it so I could teach it. I saw him in the delivery room saying, be born, I want you. I'm your father. And he took me and he loved me and he cuddled me and he rocked me and he nurtured me and he fathered me. And I became a little bit bigger of a baby and he threw me up in the air and I threw up in his face. And I thought, oh, I threw up on God. Oh, what's he going to do? And he laughed. And then he cleaned me up first before himself. I spent years in these visions as he fathered me, as he healed me, as he replaced the fathering and mothering that I needed and the acceptance that I needed and became my best friend. And just kept telling me, you are valuable to me. You are somebody to me. I wanted you to be born. I designed you. I created you. I have a purpose for your life. And it's not wallpaper. My husband used to be in evangelism. We'd travel around, which I hated every trip of, because we had to go in these big, scary churches where I didn't know anyone. And he loves people. And he'd just go running with all the people, and I'm standing there in the midst of people saying, how do I disappear? And Harvey used to say that it's, well, my wife, she's like wallpaper. She just blends into the wallpaper. She's not even here, you know. I'm not wallpaper. And God started telling me, I created you to stand up in front of the people and teach and preach. I went, oh, no, no, not me. Not me. I can't do that. I love it. I love it. And the devil didn't want me to discover right. That. You know what? I think he heard the prophecies in heaven when God was designing me and saying, okay, I'm going to create one who will boldly stand up and say anything I tell her to say. And the devil said, I'll see if I can shut her up right away. See if I can send some lion spirits down there to get in her sister and brother and in her mom and in her stepdad and see if I can't silence her so she'll never do it. He's after you before you're even born because he knows who you are before you know who you are.
Right.
You want to go deeper?
I do.
Then you got to face this. You got to face these things you think you can't face. You got to face the layers that you don't like or don't want to give up. You have to face them. You have to face your fear. You have to face your fear. One time I went in a vision, and this prophet was walking us into a vision, and it worked. He said, we're going to cross the field, and we're going to enter the high tower, and we're going to shut the door, and we're going to lock it, and we're going to go up in the very, very top of the high tower. And there we're going to be alone with God. And the enemy can't get you there because God won't let him in. He locked the door. So I did, in my vision, I crossed over and I went in the tower and I went in up the uppermost. And in that upper room stood this demon in a black cape with that thing they carry around, that death demon, you know, what's that spear or something? The sickle, the reaper, the grim reaper, that's who was there. And I was like, God, I'm supposed to be safe here. Why did you let him in? And he said, I didn't let him in. You brought him. I didn't let him in. You brought him. He was in you. You brought him here. I exposed him. Exposed him. God said, face your fear. Walk right up to it and take a hold of that black cape and rip it off. And you know what was left? Skinny, frail little bones and a demon going, ah! Running from me. Fear has no power but your mind. The devil has no power but your mind. Now you may argue with that and say, yes, he does, because he can get in another human body and he can rape me. It doesn't touch your spirit. Right. Been there, done that. Didn't touch my spirit. God just cleansed me of that and it's all gone. Well, he could beat me up. If the Spirit of God is on you, no matter what the enemy does to you physically, he's only doing it to your body.
Right.
He can't affect your spirit, who you really are.
Right.
So there's no reason to fear. How did Joan of Arc stand there and let them burn her alive? How did Stephen stand there while they stoned him going, I see Jesus.
Yep.
Because his focus was so on Jesus, he didn't even feel those stones. I'm not saying you won't feel any pain. I'm saying there will be grace. My mother's best friend died with cancer. She couldn't stand a cold. She said, you know what? I love God so much. But if the enemy ever comes to physically hurt me, I'll deny Christ. I know I will. I can't even take a cold. I start whining and complaining. I can't stand it. I can't take it. She said, so I know if I had a bad disease of pain, I would deny Christ. I'd whine and cry and be a horrible witness. That lady laid in a hospital bed for 3 months in agonizing pain while she led doctors and nurses and visitors to Christ.
Right.
And told jokes, laughing.
Yep.
And she said, you don't have grace until you need it.
Right.
When you need it, it's there. If he called you to burn at a stake, he'll give you grace to burn at a stake.
Right.
If he called you to have your head cut off, you know it. You'll be the first one saying, freedom! Cut my head off. He loves that movie, Braveheart. Janiyah loves that movie, Braveheart. Janiyah and Harvey both know they're going to get their head cut off. They're going to get persecuted for Christ. And they're okay with that.
That's right.
For years, I tortured myself. I'm a bad Christian. I don't want my head cut off. I don't want to burn at the stake. I don't think I can take it. I don't want to. And God said, what are you whining about? I never told you you were going to. I never chose that for you. I never told you you were going to be have your head cut off, did I? No. What did I tell you was going to happen to you? You told me you're going to have them verbally persecute me for preaching against sin in America. But you also told me I'd get a 6-car length surrounding of protection. They won't be able to touch me. He said, so why are you whining about getting your head cut off? That's not for you. Do you hear him whining about it? No. In fact, recently, joking, and then it just hit us, like he's going, I'm going to get my head cut off, and I'm going, yeah, I'm going to have to get the healing, I'll just put it back on. Then cut it off 6 times, we'll put it back on. And we both stopped and looked at each other and went, that might happen. You might get your same head cut off 6 times. But there'll be grace for it. We torment ourselves because of religiousness. We try to make ourselves willing to go through what God's not even taking us through. But then we won't go through what he is taking us through because we're scared it might take us to the other thing we don't want to go through. We do this inner argument. God, if I give you everything you want, you might want what I don't want you to want. But believe me, if that's the case, after you're done giving it to him, you're going to want it. The very first ministry I was in was interpreting to deaf people in front of the church. And it was a new ministry back then. All the eyes were watching me to see what I would do. I didn't want to be there.
Right.
I hated it. But I had already decided, God, I will give you whatever you want. And he said, I want you to stand up and interpret sermons. And I said, I don't believe you. the pastor of the church himself would have to come to the sign language class and tell me that you told him that, and then I'll believe you. The very next night, pastor of the church came to the sign language class and said, I want you to interpret sermons. So I had to do it. I was scared. I was still a wallflower. I stood up in front of the deaf people, and I literally froze, and I said, how do you sign the, if, and, when? I couldn't remember a basic word, not one basic word. And when that preacher started talking, my hands began to move. And I went, whoa, what am I doing? And God just did it. And I fell in love with it. The minute I obeyed what I didn't want to do, I fell in love with it.
Right.
And I spent a couple of years in the deaf world learning about some people. I don't really haven't seen any deaf for a long time. But at that time, they were a persecuted people. They were considered stupid and illiterate, and churches didn't even want them. Catholic Church said, don't bother to come. We can't talk to you. Just pay your money, and we'll pray you out of purgatory. They didn't even know who God was. And here were some childlike people that loved me, loved me. They just would say, I had ugly color. They were like children. They'd say anything that came in their mind, and I felt comfortable with that because I can't stand phoniness. What I hated was the people that would go, oh, your hair looks so good short. And then you grow, oh, it looks better long. And you cut it, oh, I really like it short. You don't know what they like or what they believe.
Right.
They're just saying anything you want to hear. I hate that kind of people.
Right.
I would rather you walk right up to me and say, I hate your dress, and I don't like what you preach. I love you, Lloyd. You know why? Because Lloyd comes in here. I love this. He was dead wrong. I hope he's starting to see that. But he came in here out of the Baptist denomination. I think he made 2 or 3 times before he stood up right in the middle of my sermon and said, what are you doing? You're a woman, and you keep expounding the word, and you know better than that. I love you for that. I know you still got that. But I love you because you will speak what you believe, and it doesn't offend me. Doesn't offend me. I love honesty. Some of us just need to get honest.
No, right.
Some of you are so nice, it's sickening.
Yep.
You're so syrupy sweet, and then you go home with all your bitterness and gripe.
Yep.
You're so nice to somebody's face, and you go home and tear them to shreds.
Yep.
Some of you need to admit you've got anger.
Yep.
You've got some hopelessness. You've got some hatred. You've got some pride. And you're coming in here in your Sunday shine best, trying to be nice. Say nice things to everybody. It's a false antichrist. It is antichrist, but it's a portion of antichrist that says, I am Christ. I am just like him. I'm always nice. Harvey's always rude. He does tend to go to the rude, but he's always honest. You know what you can do with a rude person? You can be rude right back.
Right.
You know, if he's rude to you, you can say, that's being rude, and I don't like you talking that way. But syrupy, phony, nice, you can't answer that. It's slippery.
Yep.
Some of you, you're stuck at that shiny golden Christian stage, and you think you're doing pretty good with it. You need to go further.
Right.
Some of you are stuck there. You know you can't do it. You can't live for Christ. You know, the Word says, as you have received him, so walk ye in him. Now, if your foundation of salvation is based on, I quit doing everything. I give him all my time. I give him all my money. I read 3 hours a day, and I witness, and I pray, and I worship, and I try, and I'm so frustrated, and I can't do it. No, you can't do it. You can't do it. But if your salvation is based on knowing, I can't do it. I can't do anything. I could stand here and talk to you for 3 hours and expound the greatest scriptures of wisdom and teach your mind. I can stand up here and I can affect your heart. I don't even try. I mean, I don't go through, oh, I got so beat up, you know, and try to rip your heart out. But I could. I have emotional stories. I could rip your heart out. I could talk about my baby that died, and I'd been bedridden so long I couldn't even go see him. So they brought his dead body to me, and I held his little dead body and cried over him. I could rip your heart out. I can affect your mind with the wisdom of the word, but I can't touch your spirit. I can't touch your spirit. And you aren't going to change until it goes to the spirit.
Right.
And only God can do that.
Right.
So yesterday, in a day of prayer, was about Harvey and I falling on our face before God and saying, it doesn't matter what we say. It doesn't matter what we say. Until you reach inside of them and grip their spirit,
right,
they're not going to change. They're not going to get it. They're not going to see it in the spirit. They're not going to have a transformation. See, I don't just know these truths of my healing. I lived them in my spirit.
Yes.
God held me. He cuddled me. He fathered me. And I am a completely grown-up woman who's been fathered, nurtured, protected. For a long time, after being in years of ministry, then I come to healing, a man called us at the house and said, I have some sexual issues, some hang-ups and problems I'd like to talk to you about. And I said, I can't talk to you about that, and you can't talk to me about that, because right at the moment I'm only 2 years old, and my dad won't let me hear those things. God said, partner with me in this. Now, I have you at 2 years old and you're healing. You can't hear that kind of talk. You're not a counselor. You're a two-year-old right now. Within weeks, I became 13. I was really quick how you get to grow up in God. But it happened in my spirit. Your spirit is full of holes and emptiness and hurts and aching and accusations and pains and fears. And it needs to be filled up with God, repairing it. Not understanding it. Not just feeling it. But happening.
Yes.
Happening in the real you. Because the real you must be fathered, must be mothered, must be nurtured, and must be healed in order for you to grow up spiritually so you can become the bride of Christ, a partner with Christ, not a little baby saying, I know you're supposed to be my husband, but I need a daddy. No. We shouldn't get our children married until they've been nurtured.
Right.
I don't want to give my daughter to some man if she's going to cling on him trying to make him her daddy. She needs to grow up into adult womanhood and partner with that man in marriage.
Right.
And God wants the church to grow up and partner with his son as a bride.
Yes.
And that takes digging deep. That takes not you telling God what you need. No.
No.
You don't even know
right
what you need. What you're going to bring to him and say, well, I know what I want to be healed of. He's going to say, yeah, forget that. I'm after this. Well, I don't want to think about that. Well, that's what I'm after. It's that or nothing.
That's right.
That or nothing.
That's right.
And it's usually that thing you don't want to think about. That's what he's after.
Yep.
I don't know what he's taking you to face. It may be nothing. I'm sorry for you if it's nothing. Because you're stagnant if there's nothing. If there's nothing, then your first prayer needs to be, God, gentle Savior, do not pass me by.
Right.
Do not pass me by in this day when you're preparing your bride. Don't leave me out. Don't forget me. Please take me to face something. Please come to me. And that's what we did yesterday. We laid down before God and said, we're laying on your threshing floor. Come and thresh us. Threshing is when you separate the wheat and the chaff. And you blow away the chaff so you only have good wheat. We need to lay before God and plead with him. Me, Lord, I need it. I need this threshing. I need deep repentance. I need change. I need healing. I need to be real with you. I need to walk with you where you're living in me, not me trying to live for you,
right,
which I can't do.
Right.
I need the real you living in me, through me, so that you're doing it. And I'm just letting you.
Exactly.
I'm letting you. Start to beg him for that. Start to plead with him for that. Ask him to show you what's really in my heart that you're after. What's in my heart? Where are my actions coming from?
Right.
You might not like what you find in your heart because it might be one of these guys. They might be living in your heart right now. The reason you're going to be brave enough to face that is because you know that's the real you over there.
Right.
And if you find something ugly inside of you, it's not you.
Right.
He wants to get it out.
That's right.
You have to face it to get it out.
Exactly.
We're afraid to face it because we're afraid that it's the real us. And then we're stuck just admitting what we are. First, you have to believe that's what you are, created in his image. Anything else is not you. Anything that's not you can go. Depression is one of the ugliest spirits because it takes the fight out of you. It comes on you and says, what's the use? You might as well give up. And everything in you says, yeah, I should probably rebuke it and fight, but I'd rather just go to bed and take a nap. I don't really feel like fighting, and I don't really care. It's easier just to lay down and just give in to it. It's easy. I don't want to fight. And you think, when you get in that lay down, give up, depressed state, you're thinking, I can't fight it. I don't want to fight it. It is me. It is me. I'm just giving up. Dare you to try this. God, you said depression is a spirit, and it is not me. So in the name of Jesus, depression, get off me. I still feel tired. God says, stand up. I don't want to stand up. God says, stand up. You let your feet hit the floor. Bam, that spirit's gone, and you're not depressed, and you're energized, and you go, wow, it wasn't me.
Right.
It just left. Grace takes a step. It takes a step of obedience. First you say, I will not let this spirit live here.
Right.
He will not live in me. Draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Right.
When you draw nigh unto God and he gives you that word, do this, say this, whatever that word is, and you do it. When you step into it, grace floods.
Yep.
You can stand there saying it didn't work all day long if you don't take the step that
right.
it gives you. But when you take that step, and that first time you experience this, that spirit actually just flees your life, and you feel entirely different, you begin to get it. It wasn't me. It really wasn't me.
Right.
I tore up that, and I chose to forgive them, and all that hatred I can never change, but here you go, God. And, by the way, I break agreement with the hate. I don't want it to live
right.
in me. I'm asking you, inviting you to change my heart. And within minutes, maybe days, I don't know, but at some point you go, I don't hate them.
Right.
I don't hate them.
Right.
I just did what I can't do. I stopped hating because God did it. You see, it's dependency on Christ. The walk is a constant dependency on Christ.
Exactly.
I am weak. I can do nothing, but I invite you to do it. And when you give me a step, I'll obey you, and you move in and do it for me.
Right.
You move in and do it. We make this hard when it's all Him doing it.
That's right.
It's all Him doing it. Let's come back to salvation. When did you get saved? How did you get saved? What did you repent of? What is your salvation security resting on? We had a girl come to us every day. I think I'm not saved. I think I'm not saved. Why do you think you're not saved? I don't know if I really repented because, I mean, at the time, I knew I wouldn't quit smoking if he asked me to. And at the time, I thought I repented of everything, but somebody later said, would you be a missionary if he called you? And I went, no, I didn't really repent. I wouldn't do that. So I'm not sure I'm saved. Well, let's take part two. When did you meet Jesus? When did you meet him? He's real. He's real. Do you know him? Did you meet him? Do you know him? Is he real? Says he's going to come and live in you. Did somebody come and live in you? What kind of somebody came and lived in you? There's a question. There's a false spirit of Christ that is very willing to jump inside people when they pray the prayer.
That's right.
He'll jump right in and give you this peace. And he was here this morning. He was here this morning. I was in my office and I had the very presence of God on me. Holy, pure, loving presence of God. And we come out here and we're in the circle praying. And very quickly comes this peace. I don't know how to describe it to you, but it wasn't God. But it was like, peace. I'm anointing you today. And I went, whoa, who's anointing me today? I'm going to put power in your words. I went, oh, this isn't a voice I know.
Right.
This isn't a voice I know. This isn't God. I know God. So when that false spirit wants to come and say, I'll give you power today. I'm going, you don't sound like the right voice to me.
Right.
You might be saying words. You might be coming in with this fake, awesome, overpowering, but are you God? And I just turned my face. I didn't say, this is not God. I said, Jesus Christ, I love you. Let the power of your name fill this room. I begin to worship him and call the name of Jesus. 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 Until his holy presence overtook me. And we turned and said, you're dismissed.
Yes.
We don't need your power. Do you know him? My sheep hear my voice.
There you go.
They know me. God is real. You can know a real God. You don't have to live religion. You can know the real God. And you don't have to earn him.
No.
He earned you.
Yes.
He earned you. He bought you. He paid for you.
That's right.
What you have to do is come to the Father, seeing your hopeless, helpless condition. I choose you, God. I want you, God. I want you, but I can't get to you because of everything that I am and everything that's in me of sin. I can't get you, but I want you. I choose you. Do what I can't do. Take this junk out of my heart so I can know you. Jesus, your blood is my only hope.
That's right.
If your blood's not enough, I'm going to hell.
That's right.
I don't care how many people I help. If that blood isn't enough, I am going to hell.
That's right.
Because when you get there, it's going to be the blood or you don't get in.
Right.
Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I just hope God quickens this to you. This is the blood, John. John, you can't come to heaven because of your sin. I can't let you in because you have sin. You can promise me you're going to stop. You can pull your pile of good works out. These are your good works. But God, I prayed. But God, I taught Sunday school. But God, I tried so hard to be good. But God, I read your word 5 times a day. But God, I knocked on doors and led everyone to Christ. But God, I gave up everything for you. I went to China. Oh, Lord, I've done everything. He's going to go as filthy rags.
Right.
Do you have the blood of my son?
There you go.
Take the flag from John. God, I'm a thief on the cross. I've done nothing for you. I don't have time to do anything for you. I'm going to be dead in a few minutes. But I want you, and I'm sorry that I've lived a life of sin. I believe that your shed blood paid for my sin.
Yep.
It's all I've got. I don't have time to do any works. Come on in. You've got the payment.
There you go.
Amen.
It's the only payment.
What can wash away my sin?
And as you have received him, so walk in
him. There you go.
So walk in him. I don't have any good works for you, God. All my good works are like filthy rags.
Right.
I guarantee you every time we speak, there's error in it. Every time we do anything, there's mixture. There's mixture.
Right.
We are never going to be perfect.
Right.
We are never going to be anything without him.
Right.
It's only the blood. If this blood doesn't get me in, you know what? I decided one day, after trying to be religious for a long time, I decided one day, Jesus, I quit. I just give it up. If I don't get in heaven, it's your fault. Because I'm
right.
Putting it all on you. I'm putting all my sin on you. So if I miss the boat and don't get in, it's your fault. Because
right.
I'm putting it all on you and claiming
right.
your blood. And that's all I'm ever going to offer God. Your blood. My unworthiness, but my gratefulness for your blood.
Thank
that's
you.
All I've got. That's all I've got. Is that how you came to him? Is that how you live in him? Are you in him? Do you know him? Tom, will you play for us? I just want to give that a few minutes. Just want to give that a few minutes while the Holy Spirit soaks it into your spirit.